This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Synapse, Think Tank of the Air, featuring influencers, creatives, and top leaders in the Twin Cities. And now, here is our host, Steve LeBall.
Welcome to Synapse Podcast, Think Tank of the Mind. My name is Sarah Moe, and I am the CEO of Sleep Health Specialists. I'm also a co-founder of Synapse, and I am subbing in today for Steve LeBeau, who suffered from a stroke last week, but he is doing well, and we are sending him all of our best thoughts. So today we are going to have a conversation with three of my favorite dudes. First, we have Mondo Davison, who is the lead at Team Ventures, which is a startup studio primarily focused on ed tech. And he is also known as the Black Tech Guy here in the Twin Cities. We also have Brian Belmont, who is the president of Belmont Partners Public Relations, and Sam Ndeli, who is a co-founder of Gravity, that is with an I at the end, and a business consultant at Meta. So thanks, guys, for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
Greetings.
Us.
Wonderful. So I kind of want to start today with having a conversation about our community. Brian, why don't you start? Tell us about any projects that you're involved in.
Sure. Most of what I am doing has to do with my work life also, which I'm the owner and founder of Belmont Partners Public Relations with my wife. We started back in 1996 when it was just me. I was all of those Belmont partners, and we've grown to a 14-person agency in Edina. And so technically we're a family business. So we're, my wife and I own the company, and we've got another partner and some other senior leadership, certainly. But what's really important to us is giving back to the community and really empowering our team to give back. So a few years ago, we started what we're calling Belmont Gives Back, which is just a kind of a formal way of giving everybody some time during the work week to do what they want to do and pursue their passions in the community and support the organizations that they want to support. So last year we gave almost 500 hours collectively back to the community.
Wow.
Thanks. It really fits in with our culture and fits in with the people that we work with. And we work with a lot of nonprofits, you know, just day to day as well in a PR capacity. But me personally, I've been spending a lot of my time with 360 Journalism, some folks from there were on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
Huh. So that's at the University of St. Thomas.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit designed to really support a diverse group of youth, primarily high school students, to learn journalistic and communication skills so they can tell their stories.
Oh,
so they
neat.
Can, and whether that's through, you know, writing for the magazine that 360 has or online or in person, it's all about using critical thinking skills.
Very cool.
So I've been on that board for the last 9 years, and I'm working hard
Love
at that
it.
Right now.
Very cool.
Awesome. So it's one cool thing is that my background in education is actually in strategic communications, or PR. So I love the work that you're doing, Brian.
Thanks.
That's really awesome to hear. So my name is Sam Ndeli. I'm a co-founder for Gravity. And Gravity is an organization that we started in 2016 with my co-founder, Alex Rodriguez. And what we focus on doing is creating a space and a community for people of color who want to break into the tech and entrepreneurship space. So really tech startups. And, you know, one of the things that we noticed is that the tech startup scene here in the Twin Cities is a growing community. But one of the things that we felt that it was really a white space, and we wanted to be able to create a lane where people of color can come in, go to events and feel comfortable, feel like they're represented and hear voices that share similar experiences that they did on the journey of becoming an entrepreneur. And so we started doing events back in 2016, really just started doing meetups. That's actually how I had the opportunity to meet Mondo back in the day. And And those events turned into different, we did fireside chats where we featured different founders. And we also done some panel discussions around women of color in tech and things like that. And then we did a summit in 2017. We brought Arlen Hamilton out here. She's a VC out in Silicon Valley, who's invested in over 100 businesses of color and underrepresented founders. So we've done stuff like that. We've gotten sponsorship from Target and LiveFront and some other organizations, to name a few. And we're really excited. We just celebrated 3 years last month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So moving forward, our next thing that we're doing is actually next week on June 20th on Thursday. And we're partnering with SPNN, the St. Paul Neighborhood Network, doing an event called Gravity Live. So it's our fireside chat series, but we're actually going to be recording it. And it's going to be broadcasted on 56,000 households, and it's going to be on Facebook Live.
Cool.
And we're going to have a live audience.
Are there tickets?
There's tickets available on Eventbrite.
All right.
Capacity is up to 100. So it's limited seating. So if you want to come and see the first episode of it, we're going to be featuring an entrepreneur named Darren Levine. He runs a company called Asdell. And they're a really cool company, actually focus on creating a software for the Amazon space. So to learn more about that, come check out our event next
Very
week.
Cool.
And then also what else I do in the community, I'm a business consultant at Meta. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know what Meta is, Meta is an organization that's been around for almost 50 years now. We focus on helping people of color succeed in business. And what we do that by providing business consulting, access to capital, and different programs that we offer. One of the things that we have coming up in that space is our Million Dollar Challenge. Applications are now out. If you go to meta.net/challenge, I believe it is, you can sign up to do the Million Dollar Challenge. The first part of that event is going to happen in July. We did it last year. This is our second year doing it. We announced our winners last January. So this year we're going to have our first round in July for 2019, and then the finals will be in October during Startup Week. So we're excited about that. We gave away some money to around 9 businesses last year, and it's a national competition. So it's not just Minnesota businesses for this particular competition, but overall as an organization, we work closely with Minnesota businesses. And then another thing that I'm also part of is I'm a board member for Transcend IT. And Transcend IT is an organization that, again, works with people of color who want to learn how to get into tech-related jobs. So like early state, like tier 1 and tier 2 tech support jobs, help desk, networking support, things like that. And that organization is located in St. Paul. And I've been on the board for that for about a year now. So doing a lot of stuff around people of color and tech, that's really where my lane and passion is led me to in the last couple of years. So yeah, that's awesome. What I got going on. Just a couple of projects. I got some more stuff, but I'm not going to go into all that right now.
We've got time.
Yeah.
Mondo?
My name is Mondo, also known as a black tech guy. Most people even know me as a black tech guy and don't even know my name a lot of the times. That's cool. I'll take that. I do want to big up Brian for creating that culture of just having the opportunity for people to give back to the community. I think that's huge.
Thanks.
And Sam, yo. Gravity was so instrumental for my growth personally. I remember I stepped into tech in 2010, and I felt like I was on an island all by myself. And literally for 6 years, I was like really just trying to figure out, didn't know who to connect with, and just was like, man, I'm in Minnesota and no allies, right? And then Gravity came to the scene, and yo, it like really changed my journey. So I appreciate you guys. Congrats on 3 years.
Thank you.
And power to all the things that happen in the future. For myself, me and my business partner, Dario Otero, we essentially just combined businesses, and created an organization called TEAM. TEAM is an acronym for Tech, Entrepreneurship, Art, and Media. And in that, I manage TEAM Ventures, which is a startup studio focused on ed tech. Dario leads TEAM Studios, which is a marketing and ad agency led by top-tier creatives of color. And then we both co-manage TEAM Impact, which cultivates young entrepreneurs in tech, art, media, ages 18 to 24. Excuse me, 18 to 24. So in that, like really, we're just trying to, we identify two industries, essentially, advertising. I think black males in advertising is hovering around 5%, which has been the same for like the last 30 years. So it's like, hey, there's a huge industry where people in our community are super creative, but they don't know how to step into that space. Mm-hmm. So let's create a pipeline or an avenue to make that happen. tech, as Sam was talking about, like, was absent of people of color for a long time, at least in the startup space. You know, you look at the numbers of people of color and the rate in which they're funded is vastly different than their white counterparts. So we're trying to figure out with tech, with Team Ventures, like how we can impact that and create some dope startups. And so for us, it's like, how do we just do cool stuff, do it with community at the center, and just have some long-term impact?
Very cool. So, Brian, I love that you mentioned earlier that you had that venture for your teammates to give back to the community. And I personally, myself, know how wonderful your workplace culture is. I've done a few sleep classes for your team, and just all so wonderful, so great. So how do you feel that the workplace culture that you create impacts the actual work that your employees can do?
It's directly tied, absolutely. It's we decided early on, when it was just me and then my wife and I, that the people at our organization were going to be our number one priority. And we were very confident at the time, and we are even more confident now, that by concentrating on the people, by giving them what they need to be fulfilled personally, professionally, in their communities, in their home life, that's going to significantly positively impact what we do for our clients. And it really does. We're big proponents of the fact that a happy, fulfilled person can do, you know, strong work and wants to do strong work. And we're a small company. Certainly we have 14 people. So it's important that everyone is really invested in what we're doing, and, you know, the old, adage of all rowing in the same direction. And, by really just treating people like adults and giving them the time to do what is important to them, that accomplishes that in, you know, tenfold, really. It's been amazing. And we're
absolutely
really, we're thrilled to just see where we go next with that.
Yeah. How about Mita?
Yeah, so I guess with Mita, we're a team of around 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my experience there has been great. I've really enjoyed everybody that I've worked with, and just really what, you know, being a mission-driven organization is also really important to me. Like, every place I've worked has really had that kind of a culture where it's like, you know, we're doing work for a greater purpose, right? You know, some of my experience, I used to work for Apple before I worked at Mita. So, like, Apple's a very culture, mission-driven organization, even though it's such a big organization. But mm-hmm. when you actually work for Apple, the culture there is really great as far as just really investing in people. And I think I was developed through that experience to allow me to be able to understand the best way to help entrepreneurs create that same kind of culture within their businesses. So that's what I do on a daily basis, is I work with entrepreneurs to really help them grow and scale their businesses in a way where they're not necessarily the ones having to do everything. Because what's the point of going to a business when you're working like a slave, right?
Right.
You wanted to leave your 9-to-5 so yeah. that way you can create more time, a better life for yourself. But if all you're doing is doing everybody else's job, then you're really not creating a business or a legacy for yourself, right? Because if you leave and that business fails, then you didn't really do anything worthwhile. You want to be able to create something that can live on past you. The founder of Ford, you know, Ford Cars, he passed away how long ago, but you still see Ford out here. Yes, they've gone through some things, but they're still going strong. So I just use that as an example all the time when I work with my clients to make sure that they're doing the things that they need to do to set a foundation and make sure that, you know, their culture and their brand is representing each other the way that it needs to.
How tough has that been to get that message across and have the people you're working with really understand that and live it?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, sometimes with entrepreneurs, you know, their journeys are different, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some people, they become an entrepreneur by accident. It's like they have a side hustle or a hobby that they're working on, and then it blows up and they're like, okay, I can turn this into a business. And then, but their mentality about how they're supposed to structure that business is still in that side hustle mentality, right? And it's like, no, this is your full-time job. You need to be able to create a space where not only can you pay for all your overhead expenses and pay for benefits and insurance and actually pay employees so that way they can live as well too and have lives for themselves, but, you know, you want to make sure that you're doing those things and creating the right steps. And I always tell people, like, you know, when you're starting out and it's just you, you know, the best thing you can do for yourself, the first two employees you should hire is going to be an accountant and a lawyer. So that way you have your legal stuff taken care of, you got your money right, and you're creating a good culture and foundation to be able to understand how do you protect yourself, like, you know, in the future as you grow, because things can snowball fast and you can miss a lot of steps in your entrepreneurial journey, right? So you want to make sure that you have all those things established, so that way when the time comes, you're ready to take it on.
So Brian, when your teammates are going out into the community, you say, you know, they get to pick the kind of things that they want to contribute to. What are you seeing that they're spending their time on? What are they volunteering for or working towards in the community?
It's a big mixture, and that's what's exciting about it, I think, that everybody has their own, you know, priorities, and we really support that. It could be anything, and it has been volunteering at your kid's school to doing extra work for some of the nonprofit clients that we work with, for instance, or even pro bono clients that we work with. But it runs the gamut. I mean, it's really just anything that they want to do to give back. And there's really no limitations around
it. Yeah, that's so cool. Mondo, what do you think in this community needs more work? Where do we start? Where should we be spending some time?
Great question. Yeah, that's a loaded question.
Yep.
So in the lane that I play in, right, it seems like it's like a new space, right? And so I'll give you an example. So I grew up in a household that was middle class, loving family environment, right? And I felt safe to go out and try new things, right? Because I knew I had a safety net no matter what. I got a roof over my head and food to eat, and that's still at 34, right? I can go and risk. But I feel like the majority of people in our community don't have that safety net, or they feel like they don't have enough support once they step out on that ledge. And so with this team motto, we're trying to figure out what do we have to actually create to create a culture that allows people to go take those risks, right? And so even if we just think about a physical space, like the traditional co-working spaces that we walk into, WeWork, Coco, Glenn Nelson Center, Osborne, downtown St. Paul, like they're all great spaces for people that already see themselves as entrepreneurs, or like, I'm here, I'm ready, let me take that next step. I'm going to spend $100, $200, $400 a month to invest in myself. But if you aren't there yet, like what spaces do you go to have that experience, to vibe with some other creatives, to like feel safe in this calculated risk that you're taking? And so I say all that to say, I feel like we're still learning. We're still trying to figure out what needs to be built right in the middle of the community, where somebody walking down the street can say, I want to go in there and see like what I can do, what I can dream up. And yeah, like that's where we're at right now. And I think that's the type of things that have to happen in the community, where we create those environments for creativity to happen.
One of the things I'll just say, kind of piggybacking off of your question and really commending Mondo and Dario for what they're doing with Team is, you know, earlier this year, we saw a lot of nationally covered stories around high-end fashion companies like Gucci that have done some really, really messed up things in regards to some of their products that they're selling and how it represents specifically people in the Black community. And they've handed out apologies. And you even look at a situation, I don't know if it was Adidas or Reebok, one of the two, but they were trying to get a deal with Beyonce, and she walked into the room and there was nobody on the advertising team that looked like her, and she walked away from the deal. And it's like that representation is so important, because there's been a history of things happening where, you know, there's outcry because of a racially insensitive product or statement or whatever that has come from a major company. And people don't realize that people of color, Black people, Latinos in particular, make up some of the highest buying power in this country. We may have trillions of dollars of buying power. We spend a lot of money on products, but these products sometimes don't represent us and they don't have our best interests. So an organization like Team that's inspiring young people to be able to get into that space and see themselves as people that are being a part of that process of creating creating a culture of where there's advertising that is better representing them is great. And especially here in the Twin Cities, you know, we have a large advertising community. We have a lot of firms out here from a PR and advertising standpoint. I graduated from the University of Minnesota in the School of Journalism. Shout out to School of Journalism at the U of M. And, you know, there was a bunch of different people that we were connected to when we first were able to graduate. And like, I have a lot of friends who work in some of these firms. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, we shout out what they're trying to do.
Very cool. All right, guys, we're going to take a short break and we will be right back.
Synapse, Think Tank of the Air. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, welcome back. We are talking today with Mondo Davison, the Black Tech Guy, Brian Belmont of Belmont Partners, and Sam Mandeli, co-founder of Gravity and a business consultant at Meta. So, Brian, we touched earlier on 360 journalism. Tell me more about that.
Sure. It's at the University of St. Thomas. It's a nonprofit that really helps high school students through tours of newsrooms and workshops by people in the local communications business.
How do they choose who gets to be a part of it?
Well, you can sign up, there are some teachers across the Twin Cities who are very, very passionate about it and try to get their kids into it. But you can sign up for summer camps. That's usually how 360 starts to meet a lot of their kids, and they're housed at St. Thomas over the summer.
Oh, wow.
It's really an intensive week to go out and be a journalist or be a communications person. And you have your kind of cohort, you have your group of people who, many of whom stay in touch for years and years and years. And it's been in existence long enough now where we can see a lot of alumni are getting real jobs in all over the country, frankly, and not only in journalism and not only in communications. But those great critical thinking skills that they, got to flex for the first time maybe at summer camp or writing for the 360 magazine. Mm-hmm. It's, as you talked about earlier, it's allowing them to see themselves maybe in that newsroom or in that ad agency or PR agency where they might not have ever thought of that before. And it's a great entree into this world of communications.
I mean, we're definitely in an era where content is king. Mm-hmm. Right. So right now it's a lot of these big media houses that are able to control the narrative. But since, social media is cracking the way that it is, it's like there's so many opportunities if people learn the nuances of good journalism and then can go out and really tell the best story. And then we can tell our own story, which when I just came in a day, Sam, just big me up on like, hey, I like the way you're branding your Instagram with like this new Black Tech Guy rebranding. For me, it was very intentional. Like, yeah, I wear this shirt every day, but what is the story behind it? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And I'm just trying to control my own narrative. But I feel like with like 360 journalism, it's just like, okay, you can go in and learn like, how do you really tell the truth, right? We're in this fake news era, right? So it's like everybody has a phone. Everybody has an ability to tell a compelling story. We just have to go out there and do it as a whole, as a unit to tell the right stories.
And I think the biggest thing is, I think what 360 is probably doing is teaching the ethics behind journalism, right? Making sure you're upholding those things, because I feel like with social media, that can be lost and people can catch on to a story that doesn't necessarily have without context. And I think context is an important part of when you're trying to talk about a narrative or creating a narrative, is just making sure that everybody's perspective is respected and that, the story is authentic. And I don't want to see more fake news out here. Right. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of these Facebook articles that are out here. They don't tell the whole story and people commenting underneath them. And it's created a really tense culture, and hopefully, with the work both organizations are doing, it helps kind of at least prepare the next generation to be able to have better practices and not get caught up in all that.
And it doesn't even necessarily have to be telling the story of a major issue or something like that, although they definitely tackle these. It's really amazing to me to see these young kids really tackle these major issues. So that's one thing they do, but telling their own story. I mean, that's just such an important part of being authentic and getting out there in the community and being true to yourself by being able to say, okay, let me think about this. How do I fit into everything? And let me tell people about me. And I love reading those too. And meeting these kids, they're just amazing kids.
Yeah, I think that's great, especially at that age, being able to start having that sense of community. Mm-hmm. Because I know for myself, even when I had started my business, I knew nothing. I had a medical background and thought, I've got a good idea. So finding community and having people, and I was a Meta client as well. So that was so helpful. So it's great that they're able to have that at a young age before they kind of get into the grind, the working years, and
people. It hits you fast.
It right. comes fast, but it helps to have people with you on the ride. So I like that you're talking about these co-working spaces and such. It's really important to just have people with you who are doing something similar.
Yeah, community is huge. I mean, that's one of the reasons why when we started Gravity, it was just really, like Mondo said, he felt like he was on an island, you know, and I know a lot of people felt like that too. My co-founder Alex is a founder of a startup as well too, and he felt the same way. That's one of the reasons why he was passionate about creating that space for people. And he did it at a really young age. He was only 22 years old when we started Gravity. So, you know, it's one of those situations where I look at when you have people around you that not only kind of you can see yourself in and you see them being successful, it drives you to want to be successful as well, too. And it's that positive iron sharpens iron mentality.
You're only as good as the company you keep.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So I think that as a Twin Cities community and as we create an ecosystem of different organizations like a Gravity, like a Beta.mn and all these different people in the tech space, you know, how are we working together to elevate the entire market, right? Because we want to tell our own story. I'm also part of Forge North, which is an organization that's trying to tell the story of this region when it comes to the economic boom in the startup space, and wanting to make sure that, you know, as we, you know, are competing with some of the other places like the Silicon Valleys and the Atlantas and all these different cities that are creating a tech culture or a startup culture, that we're telling that narrative and that story, and we're working together, being intentional about including different voices and different experiences. So I think it's a special thing that's going on.
And we talked a little bit about events earlier. Mm-hmm. That's where you felt like, hey, maybe I'm not on an island all by myself.
Right.
How important has events been? And Sarah, you too. I mean, for when you were starting your business, to really connect with people from, you know, all walks of life. And Synapse, you know, focuses on that as well, really connecting people. How important has that been?
Absolutely. So Synapse is, years ago, actually, this is funny, not a lot of people know this, but the first time I met Steve was at my very first networking event. I had just started my company, and my friend said, you have to go to networking events. And I thought, that sounds terrible. But I went, and it was an event from the Minnesota Business Magazine for a company called Gravy. And I was interested because it's in the healthcare realm. And I met Steve, and he said, we have to have coffee. I think what you do is so cool. And we became friends after that. But networking, even just the word, I feel does not do it justice. There are so many benefits to being able to spend time with people who are like-minded. And even though the idea of meeting people to either give or get something, it doesn't sound great, but you know, it makes the world turn. So yes, parties and events and community, our Synapse events are very special to me because the intent behind it is so positive. We do really just want to bring people together. We need to be having conversations around what we can do in our state to stop some of these injustices. And it seems like a tall order, but we have to start somewhere. So yes, we throw parties to have conversations, but I can't tell you how many positive things have already come from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would even double down. Similar to you, when you talk about networking, it's like, oh gosh, like I am actually an introvert at heart, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to just chill in a house and not talk to anybody. Like, really, that's my natural self. So much so that when I travel with people, they're like, dude, you don't even talk. I'm like, it's because I'm off, you know? But I say all that to say the power of networking and how to network is so important. And I feel like it took me a while to even learn, right? Mm-hmm. I would go out and pitch and tell all these things that I can do, but I need this from you. And it's like, no, Mondo, just like listen, understand each other, and like see what you can give and what you can give, and then give even more. And then if something comes back from that, right, great. If not, like you're here to like give whatever your genius is or whatever you can contribute. And it took me a long time to figure that out. But once I did figure that out, I was just like, oh, this network thing is kind of easy because I'm just here to like show love to everybody else and not trying to convince or sell somebody like I got a car in my pocket, like you should buy this car. So yeah, I mean, nuances of networking and being in the right spaces. And then I think there are certain spaces where the collective thinks that way. Like, yo, I'm just here to like help out thy neighbor. Well, if everybody in this space is doing that because that's the culture that the organization created, great things really happen because it's like everybody here just wants to uplift everybody around them. And like, that's magical.
Magical. I wish I had discovered that mentality earlier, and I would like to say that my mentality is completely changed, but it's not. If you've met me, you know I'm going to come at you, and I'm going to start talking about sleep. I'm going to tell you you have sleep apnea. We got to get this fixed. But I do try to give a little bit more. It just always kind of comes out the same.
But from wearing my PR hat, what you do is a very authentic, passionate form of communication.
Every time I hear passionate, I'm like, take it down and on, Sarah.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, it's not, you're not trying to sell something. You are trying to get a point of view across, of course. And that's perfectly fine in networking, however you define networking. Seriously, that's what I love about you. I mean, it's very authentic and it makes a difference. I mean, that's how you're getting your point of view across.
It literally impacts lives.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it can change somebody's entire life and somebody's entire course of just their health. Right, you know, it's sleep health is something that we're not educated on, you know. So from working with you, it's like I know that it's challenging to get that point across to people for them to understand how valuable their sleep is and how much it affects everything else from their productivity and even companies. How if they are able to provide opportunities for their employees to be able to have better sleep, how much more productive they can be and how much money they can save from a lot of these other health benefits that they have to pay into. So, I mean, those are the types of businesses that, you know, I love working with where it's like there's a purpose behind what they're doing. It's not just I want to do something because everybody else is doing it. I want to do something different because it's important. That's the value.
So thanks, cut yourself guys. Some slack. You're contributing to the conversation. For sure.
I'm contributing
to all of our health.
I that's my goal. And that raises another interesting point when you say, you know, and I do. I work with teams and companies and how they could increase productivity, obviously, but even just the financial aspect, the loss that companies see when their employees aren't healthy. Not even just sleep related, but just healthy in general. So I'm wondering how we can change that conversation around that being a more important part of care within an organization, that kind of focus on the wellness overall of your teams.
Well, I mean, again, our little company focusing really hard on the people. We have a wellness committee who plans, like brings in people like Sarah to talk to us about, you know, how we can be doing things better. Our office used to be in Prior Lake and it was very difficult to connect with other people, I guess, out there, but now it's in Edina, so we walk to different places. We have walking meetings. We're in the Edinburgh complex, so there's a walking track that we use. You know, so it's just being intentional about it, I think. Mm-hmm. And we give a health and wellness stipend to people to make sure they can go to yoga classes or whatever. Yeah. Again, just looking at the whole person. What do you as a business owner need to do to help support your team? And obviously health and wellness that's the number one thing, right? And mental health and mental wellness is also a big part of that.
Mondo, how do you care for your wellness?
Great question. You know what, to be honest, I'm an auditory learner, mm-hmm. right? And so like a lot of my wellness initiatives for myself has to do with just learning. And so like one of the books that I read recently that has really transformed my life is Manifest Now. And so it just talks about living in the now and just appreciate what's going on in your surroundings right now instead of always thinking about the future. And so I've been more intentional of like, okay, well, if you're going to focus on right now, go to the gym right now, eat better right now, sleep right now, like do all the things that if you build these routines now, then maybe they turn into a lifestyle later. And so I just been focused on like very small changes in my life and then telling other people like, hey, you should read this book, right? And
Manifest Now?
Manifest Now. Okay. It's super dope.
So for me, Monday was my birthday.
Woo!
So I'm Team Gemini. Shout out to Team Gemini. It's Gemini season. And I just turned 30 years old and entering a new decade in my life, really looking at it as, I felt like the last my 20s was cool, right? But I felt like I wasn't very healthy in my 20s. You know, I developed some like unhealthy habits and wasn't very active. And I was like, okay, turning 30, I want to change that, because I know by the time I hit 40, it's really hard to get back into being active again because of a lot of other factors and history of health issues in my family, passed down generations. You know, I don't want that to affect me as I get older. So I got a trainer, workout 3 to 4 days a week.
Wow.
Trying to eat better, watching my nutrition, drinking a lot of water, and just really trying to maintain a positive mentality.
I didn't hear sleep in there.
And then sleeping better. That's actually, you know, you. Thanks for reminding me. I have been trying to sleep better, but that is still a challenge, something I'm working on. So we need to reconnect.
I know a person.
I think I know a person too. So, so I think all of those things combined is going to help me as I, start hitting these different more milestones in my life, right? So, I just want to change my mentality so that way it's a lot easier for me to maintain it, you know, in my 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. So that's how I kind of maintain my health.
I'll just chime in real quick. I think when you talk about the people that are around you and the culture that's around you, when everybody else is talking or doing, like, it encourages you to do the same. And yeah. I feel like right now we're kind of removing the stigma. Brian mentioned mental health. Like, we're removing that from our community of, like, how important it is to talk about mental health. And so I just think it's about taking the right step. Like, I'm a step. Same for entrepreneurship. I'm a step. I'm going to do it. I'm going to focus on mental health. I'm going to focus on my physical health. I'm going to sleep better. Like, you just got to take the step and do it now, right? Manifest now. Just do it now. And things start to change.
Mental health is crucial, especially if you're an entrepreneur. If you don't go see a therapist as an entrepreneur, I don't know what you're doing, because it is hard. It is not an easy lifestyle. Being an entrepreneur myself and working with entrepreneurs, not only do I deal with my own problems, but I deal with everybody else's problems. So I go see a therapist. You know what I'm saying? I've done that, and I gotta, you know, I'm gonna continue to do that, because you gotta be able to compartmentalize things and really understand what is truly affecting you and how to address it, and to not take things so personally all the time, because, you know, not everything is your fault, you know. But when you feel as an entrepreneur, it's like all the pressure's on you, so it's like, you want to make sure you're making the right decisions, because it's not just your livelihood, it's everybody else that's underneath you's livelihood as well too. So being able to break those things down is crucial, because it can get lonely, you know. And with, again, we talked about community and things like that. That's why we do the things we do with Gravity. Make sure you surround yourself around other entrepreneurs and founders that are going through a similar thing. You can hear somebody else's journey. They can be authentic and tell you what they went through, you know, how hard it was for them to raise that money that they raised. We have a friend, Clarence. He just hit, what was it, $5 million?
$5 million,
he got invested,
yep,
in his startup Upsy. So shout out to him for that.
Go Clarence.
And his team. And I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And I think he's been very open about his journey too. You know, he has a wife and kids, and you know, he's always out traveling, pitching, and it's a hard life when you're trying to do that, but it's necessary to be able to build a life you want later on. So it's a sacrifice, you know, and you have to be able to have that willpower to be able to push through that. But I think I commend him on just being open and telling his story. He's been, you know, a guest of ours and a supporter of ours since the very beginning, Clarence has. So yeah.
Very cool. All right, guys, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Synapse. Think Tank of the Air. We'll be back in a moment.
We are back with Mondo Davidson, Brian Belmont, and Sam Mandeli, and we are chatting about everything, really. We left with conversations about how we care for ourselves as entrepreneurs. And I remember for myself, I would go through quite the roller coaster of attempting to be healthy. And it was 1 week I'd eat so well and run every day, not drinking any beer, and then I gotta go to this one thing, and I already had some wine, so I might as well have some more. And then the whole next week was, you know, eating out and Applebee's. Shut up. I love Applebee's. But one thing I did learn was that I shouldn't be so hard on myself about it, because that was the part that would start to get me down. It's like, you know what, it's okay to be on the roller coaster. That's what entrepreneur life is. It's literally a roller coaster.
Sometimes you do better than others, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And That's kind of my mentality, although I'm health-wise, maybe I'm on the lower end of the roller coaster more than I want to be. But, I mean, I turned 50 last year.
Oh, wow. So congratulations.
I'm looking at life
looking good
a little
50.
Bit of
a... Yep,
thank you.
Thanks. But, you know, I mean, it's a totally different perspective. I'm looking at things through a new lens. And you know, we've still got young kids, so... there's a lot of life right now, yeah. You know, in our family, and we try to do our best both for the business and personally, and sometimes we do better than other times.
So how did you get started? Speaking of entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't intended to be an entrepreneur. My parents are, but I was a journalist first and then I got into public relations and then it just kind of organically, I was at the biggest PR agency in town. And I said, yeah, I want to try my own. So I was me for a long time. And then we very slowly kind of started to grow. And really only the last 7 years, I guess, 8 years, is when we've been a traditional PR agency with employees in an office. And now we're there. So, I mean, it was a really measured entrepreneurial journey, really. But I didn't get into it because I wanted to own a business. That came after, you know, and it feels really right. I wouldn't change it for the world. And in fact, I wish I would have accelerated that journey, I think. But, you know, eventually you kind of slide into that groove that makes sense for you. And that's definitely where I am right now.
Cool.
Well, so for me, 2016, I was working at Apple. And I had met a lot of people who, through my job and hearing them trying to start their entrepreneur journey. And I had some experience working with a startup part-time, helping out. Got to go out to Silicon Valley, went to a game developers conference, and it really opened my eyes to, like, that world. And I was really intrigued, and I was like, oh, you know, eventually when I transition, I would love to work for a startup and be a part of that culture. And so I guess really, but then I started to look at, I met a lot of people who, you know, who looked like me but didn't really and had great ideas for businesses but really didn't know where to go and where events were and what was going on. And at my job at Apple, I worked with a lot of startups too, just providing them. I was a business expert for them, so I really worked specifically with businesses to help them integrate Apple technology into their businesses. So understanding that and learning about the processes that they go through and who stakeholders are, I learned that through that experience. So So I was like, you know, let me figure it out and let me see what I can do to impact it. And then went to a Blacks in Technology meeting that I hosted actually at the Apple Store in Uptown. And next thing I know, I'm meeting Alex there. And Alex is a Mexican dude. So he was there because, you know, he wanted to find a community of that looked like, you know, people that had similar experiences to him. Didn't necessarily look like him, but it was still trying to make sure that he was able to talk about what he was working on. And we met after that, and then we were just like, you know what, I love what you're doing. He's like, you know, what would you like to be a part of this journey? And I was like, sure, let's do it. So we just kind of like naturally fit, and we started doing events, and then that's when I met Mondo and some other people. That's when I met Clarence, actually, and everybody's been supporting each other for the last 3 years plus, just, you know, and everybody's really shining now. It's really cool to see the growth that everybody's had since then. Everyone since the very beginning has been doing something really great right now. So it's really cool to look back and see. I'm a very reflective person, so I like to look back at some of the stuff that's happened and see it, and it's been great.
So for me, it was January 7th, 2010, very defining moment in my life.
Clearly.
And I was an educator at the time. So I was an educator for St. Paul Public Schools for 7.5 years. And so I stumbled into education. This was me like, hey, I'm an athlete. I'm going to play professional ball. At 25, I'm like, that's my cutoff time. If I'm not playing professionally, I'm done. And so when I decided I was done hooping and put up the shoes, I became an educator. And what was crazy is like, I'm in education and I'm like, this is okay, but I'm not going to do this for the next 50 years. But I had no idea what it was that I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm at the crib chilling, flicking channels. And I stumbled upon this special called Planet of the Apps. And it was on MSNBC or CNBC. I think it was CNBC. And I had never watched anything on this channel before or after this day. And so it was a universe, you know, making me watch it that day. And literally after that hour special, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. And it was essentially Apple saying, hey, we're about to open up the door for outside developers. You should learn how to make apps because this is going to be the future. And I believed them. And so I stepped into the space, right? And I just, that's where I'd like made 80,000 mistakes from January 7, 2010 to now, right? And it was just a dope journey, right? And what's crazy, now that I reflect, I just posted on social media today because you know how things recur of like when you posted.
And memories, so, man.
Yep.
Memories, memories. So like 3 years ago today was when I actually quit my full-time job as an educator. And I was like, wow. Oh, man, it's been 3 years since. And like, you know, there's been some broke days, but there's been more days that I've not been broke, right? And
very
so
cool.
It's all to say, like, it was a great decision to step out full-time, right, and do this thing. And it fills me up every day to know that, hey, you're doing something that you feel like you're designed to do, right? And hopefully you can surround yourself with other people that feel the same way. And then also encourage some new people to take the leap with you. So I don't know. That's been my journey. I one thing I would actually like to open a question to everybody else, like for somebody that's in it right now or looking to get in it, like what advice would you give them as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So I think that my number one advice that I always give people is learn to accept failure. Because failure is life's greatest teacher. So as an entrepreneur, you're going to fail a lot. Like Mondo said, he made 80,000 mistakes, and I seen him make them. So making sure that you're able to understand how to bounce back, how to reassess and be reflective and understand how to take feedback and not think you have all the answers because you don't. If you did have all the answers, you wouldn't be an entrepreneur right now. You would already, your business would have already made itself happen, right? So be open to learning, be open to reflecting, but be okay with failure because that is the way you're going to be able to continue to improve and develop yourself and really correct those mistakes. So,
very cool.
That's great. For me, it is be open to anything. Mm-hmm. Be curious. We've been friends with the Brave New Workshop Improv Comedy Theater for a long, long time. And they've been a client through the years too. And, you know, one of the big tenets of improv in comedy or in business is to say yes. And when somebody gives you something, okay, I got this now, how can I build upon it? So we always talk about when people come in for coffee or whatever, the importance of really being open to whatever life or business gives you and seeing what you can do with it rather than saying no to something.
Right. Mm.
My advice would be to just do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Nike.
I really regret not starting sooner. When I think about my, you know, moment of saying, all right, we're going to make this happen. Actually, I have my ex-husband to thank. We were at dinner and our waiter had some indicators for some sleep apnea and he was so nice and he was running back and forth. And I just remember Ryan looking at me and going, don't do it. Please don't say it. And I was like, real quick. And I had to just tell him about sleep apnea. And he was like, huh? Yeah, I do snore. Yeah. And Ryan just shook his head at me and said, if you want to talk to people about sleep for a living, then do it for a living. He said, you just got to figure out a way to do it. So I thought about it for a while, longer than I should have after that, before jumping in. So that would be my advice, is to just, if you've got something you want to do, just do it, because you'll regret not starting sooner.
And I think that's an important thing too to say, but I think it's also important to accept your journey and the path you're on. And mm-hmm. like, if you dwell on like, oh, I should have done it when, it's like, that's not what happened.
Yeah,
like,
that's not helpful.
You have to control what you can control moving forward. So that way you're not regretting things in the future. So really just accept the journey that you're on and then go at it hard and take it as seriously as you can.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys the most proud of so far on your journey? Any awards or accomplishments or something specific that when you look back, you think, yeah, that was great? I'll start. I have two. My Women Who Lead honor from the Minnesota Business Magazine, where Brian's wife was also Jen Belmont. She was on that list as well. That was a huge honor because I also got to speak at the panel at that event. And so afterwards, I think because of that, so many more people came up to me to talk to me. And I made, from that event, I made so many friends. And I'll just never forget that. That was one of the best nights of my life. And I think the other, I guess I can't say it's a specific accomplishment, but it's my favorite thing. I have this little folder where when people who take my class, I go into companies and I'll do classes on sleep, and I always make sure everybody has my information if they need anything in the future. But I have a little folder where I keep emails of people who will reach out and say, you know, you don't know me, but you came to my office and this and that since then, and it was life-changing. And I get a lot of those emails, and I cry every time. It makes me so happy.
Similar to Sam saying he's trying to get better at sleeping, right? Like, I think this is one of my biggest growth moments or needs. So, like, when I used to hoop, it was always my goal is to get to the NBA. So all this stuff that happens in between there means nothing. I don't care about MVP awards, championships, titles. I don't care about none of that because it's all about the end
game.
And so I don't know if that's good or bad or whatever, but like I get a trophy and just like throw it away. Mm-hmm. Who cares? So then when I stepped into this entrepreneurial journey, a lot of the times people that were more seasoned than me would say, hey, you have to celebrate the small wins, right? And for years, I did not. Because I'm like, here's my end goal. Like, I feel like everybody that's an entrepreneur right now, unless you sell your company, we all on the same page. Like, raise money or not, it's just like, unless you sold it, if that's your goal, or you go public or whatever. And so what I've been trying to do lately is appreciate kind of the small things that have been happening. And so, I don't know, small things like literally yesterday I was walking home from the office to my house and a guy looked at me. And then he kept walking. And he literally turned around and he was like, are you actually the black tech guy? And I was like, that would be me.
Yes,
like,
I am.
Right. And he was just like, yo, you don't know me, right?
Yep, yep.
But yo, what you've been doing, I appreciate it. I've been watching and like, I just want to say hi. My name is. And so
cool
for me is like, I want to build a brand to encourage people to go into tech.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was cool. Like that's a small win. It's a celebratory moment. And I just celebrated by myself, but it was fun.
Perfect.
I guess for me, I believe in servant leadership. So like a lot of my wins and successes is when other people win and succeed. So
such a modest group here. I'm bragging about my award. Jeez.
So, I mean, for example, you know, we celebrated 3 years of Gravity. I mentioned that 2017, we had our first summit with the Gravity Summit. Mm-hmm. And when we brought Arlen Hamilton out here, she's the founder of Backstage Capital. She's a black lesbian woman, VC. She's a unicorn in her space. There's not a lot of people that look like her who are investing money into businesses. And she's very, very open and out there about her journey and how she started it. It's a really remarkable story, so you should go look her up.
Mm-hmm.
But when she came out here to speak, she met one of a local entrepreneur, Anila from HabitAware. Mm-hmm. And they actually ended up investing in her. And she was part of the Backstage 100. So that's a pretty cool win for us because we created this space where she was able to meet a VC that it was able to invest in her. And that happened here in the Twin Cities. And this is a VC from Silicon Valley. So that was huge to be able to see that. And then Anila's has gone on to do some great stuff.
Yeah, she won the Cup last year.
She won the Minnesota Cup. She won our Meet a Million Dollar Challenge last year. She was our top award winner. She won $400,000. Her and her husband have been featured on our Fireside. Well, Anila was featured on our Fireside Chat back earlier this year. I think it was our March event, if I'm not mistaken. She's just been killing it. And her business is so amazing.
Yes.
What they're doing, you know, for people who are dealing with, you know, different bad habits like hair pulling, you know, skin biting or nail biting or whatever it is, which she suffered from herself. And one of the biggest, another thing about businesses, right? The best businesses solve problems. And she had a problem that she wanted to solve. You had a problem you wanted to solve. You had a problem you wanted to solve. So did Mondo. He felt there was an underrepresentation of you know, people of color in a space, and he wanted to solve it in his own way, and that's what he did. We did the same thing with Gravity. Mita did the same thing 50 years ago. So, and that's why they're successful, you know. So I think that, you know, going back to it, I think that's what I would call out as one of our biggest wins from a Gravity standpoint.
Very cool.
Good. And, you know, the PR industry is all about awards. But so we won plenty of awards, like everybody
you
has.
You had the best places to work just last month, right?
Yeah, last month, Inc. Congrats. Magazine named us the best workplace.
That's huge. That's
really
national.
Thrilled. It's national, and the best part for me is that it was voted on by our employees. So, I mean, again, that's just a recognition of everything we've been trying to do, that we're getting some, you know, some reinforcement that, hey, we're doing the right thing. We're taking the right steps.
Very cool. Well, you guys, we're actually going to wrap up here. Thank you again for joining me and having such a great conversation. And again, everybody listening, please send all your love to Steve. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Synapse. Think Tank of the Air. I'm Leo Espinosa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.